Welcome, podcast listeners, to the Lone Road iRacers podcast with me, your host, Guy Robertson. And this week's episode is mainly about the Nürburgring Endurance Championship. This week, the latest announcement from iRacing is the iRacing Nürburgring Endurance Championship announces 9-race 2024 schedule, folks. So it basically reads that iRacing Nürburgring Endurance Championship will run a 9-race championship in 2024, beginning on March the 30th and running through till the end of October. Inspired by Nordisk Life-based events in the real world, this series of endurance events brings a full slate of GT and touring cars to the ring. There will be four time slots each weekend, with races launching at 700 GMT and 1730 GMT on Saturdays, and 100 GMT and 1300 GMT on Sundays. Eight of the nine races on the schedule will be 4 hours long, while round five on July the 27th through to the 28th will be a six-hour race. The 2024 iRacing Nürburgring Endurance Championship schedule is as follows. Round one starts on March the 30th till the 31st, and that's a four-hour event. Unless I say differently, it's a four-hour event. Round 2, April 20th till the 21st. Round 3, May the 11th till the 12th. Round 4, July the 13th to the 14th. Round 5, July the 27th to the 28th, and that's a 6-hour version. Round 6, August the 17th till the 18th. Round 7, August the 31st till the September the 1st. Round 8, September the 28th till the 29th. And finally, round 9, October the 26th till the 27th. The full lineup of cars competing in the 2024 iRacing Nürburgring Endurance Championship is as follows. GT3s. They are the Audi R8 LMS Evo 2 GT3, the BMW M4 GT3, the Ferrari 296 GT3, the Mercedes AMG GT3, the Porsche 911 GT3R 992, the GT3 Cup, Porsche 911 GT3 Cup 992, the GT4, Aston Martin Vantage GT4, the BMW M4 GT4, the Porsche 718 Cayman GT4 Club Sport, TCRs, the Honda Civic Type R TCR, and the Hyundai Elantra TCR. And finally, the GR86, or the Toyota GR86. So that's the total lineup for this epic endurance race championship for 2024 that runs... what's that? Probably for at least the next three seasons on iRacing. So that's a challenge for anybody. If you race on the Nürburgring, shall we say, in the Ringmeister series, you're becoming a bit of a specialist on that specific track by now, I'm sure. So that might be the challenge for you. But racing for 4 hours straight or 6 hours straight in this series is going to take its toll. Now, it doesn't say whether rain will be affecting the environment that you will be racing in. Why wouldn't they put some rain in? And for a 4 to 6 hour race, basically that's what they brought the rain in for, I believe, folks, to influence and give us an extra challenge during these endurance races. So we're going to have a quick break, and then we'll be back to look at the Nürburgring endurance race in real life. Dre is the Audible iRacer's companion. Want to improve your results or get more wins? Download Dre, the digital race engineer. Hit the link in the show notes for a 10% discount. Welcome back, podcast listeners. So we're going to look at the Nürburgring Endurance Championship or Challenge in the real world. And there's a article that's only just come out today, which has got interest in reading. The start of the race season at the famous Nürburgring Nordisch Life now falls into the hands of a long-established and rival ADAC, Nürburgring Laststrecken Series, organised by the VLN on April the 6th till the 7th. The newly formed NES, organised by the Automobile Club von Deutschland, or in brackets AVD, with the direct involvement of the Russian Nürburgring owner NR Holding, is now set to make its debut on May the 4th. However, doubts remain about the series, which is struggling to find acceptance amongst teams, drivers and other key stakeholders, such as marshals, many of whom refuse to work for a series that was first perceived as a hostile takeover attempt against the NLS and now as an attempt to force the NLS out of the market. In a remarkable statement, the NES has now accused both the ADAC and the NLS of putting massive pressure on all stakeholders who want to work for the NES. The premiere of the Nürburgring Endurance Series is increasingly accompanied by massive discrediting and reprisals against people who are and want to be active for NES, the statement said. The Nürburgring Endurance Series, in brackets NES, has faced increasing hostility and threats since the announcement of the introduction of this new endurance racing series in the spring of last year. Originally conceived as a series of four-hour races on the Nordisch Life, NES have already had to change the format for the first event to races on the Grand Prix circuit. The first race of the new series has been changed to a pair of 90-minute races on the Grand Prix circuit. It is understood that the reason for this is a lack of marshals, with 400 to 500 people needed for a race on the Nordisch Life. And you can understand why, folks, can't you? The amount of corners and danger on that track, you need marshals everywhere. Worst-case scenario to get to you in an emergency. In contrast, testing can be done with far fewer marshals, as the official objective is not to achieve top speeds. The reason for the format change is that volunteer helper groups, stewards, leading marshals, officials, external service providers, other stakeholders, and even teams and drivers who remain neutral in the exercise of their professional duties or predominantly voluntary leisure activities are under increasing massive pressure from people claiming to act in the name and on behalf of the VLN stroke NLS and the ADAC, the statement continues. While NES have accepted the challenge of a competitive series from the very beginning, the hostility from various camps is constantly increasing. NES therefore demands public clarification from all institutions involved that all persons are free to carry out their activities at any event as they wish without having to fear of any consequences. This is a matter of course for NES. NES would like to thank all the sport marshals and section leaders who are willing to work with NES despite the threat of consequences. NLS slams fake news by trolls, this says. The VLN-led ADAC Nürburgring Laststrecken Series responded to these claims remarkably even before the NES statement was published in the first place. VLN chairman Mike Jagger called the allegations, excuse my French, bullshit. We ask people in management positions not to work for competitors because this is about technology and knowledge transfer, he said. It goes without saying that you can't work for Mercedes and Ferrari at the same time in Formula One. Those who spread such rumours should perhaps reflect on themselves and ask themselves why people don't want to work together. Jager himself complained about unfair practices without directly naming NES. Rumours about closed grandstands and parking lots for fans were spread via social media. In addition, Jager praised the Nürburgring 927 GmbH and Co. KG, while despite being 99% owner by NR Holding, have been helping the VLM but complain about the practices of other parties. It is just like in real life, trolls deliberately spread fake news to destabilise you, he said. Must be said that the dialogue with everyone from the operational side was very productive. We're able to talk to each other on equal terms, there was nothing standing between us. Nevertheless, there has been obstacles put in our way by other parties, but this doesn't stop us from trying to talk to each other. We have done so in the past and will continue to do so in the future. With the NLS receiving overwhelming support from drivers, teams and stakeholders, and with the backing of the regional ADAC chapters, it currently appears to be on its way to victory in the NLS-NES war. PR experts told motorsport.com that the announcement could be an indicator of an exit strategy for the NES. However, any conclusion would be premature. It remains to be seen how far things escalate further. So that just shows you folks that maybe everything in the real world regarding the Nürburgring Endurance Championship or Challenge isn't quite as rosy as maybe people think. Now, clearly for us, the iRacers, we're not bothered what's going off track, shall we say, or off sim. However, it's interesting to get both sides of the fence where we're going to be enjoying a brilliant challenge for us, the iRacers, on a superb challenging track, where in the real world, they can't even race the first race on the Nordschleife because they can't get enough marshals. And that is unbelievable in these days. So that's our first topic tonight, folks. The announcement of the brand new, or maybe not brand new, but brand new for this next 2 to 3 seasons, Nürburgring Endurance Challenge. If you participate, let us know in the feedback or send us an email how you got on. Good luck to everybody in that series. So to continue our podcast theme tonight of endurance racing, there's a little article about a British endurance champion, Peter Urseg. He drives an Audi R8 GT3 Evo 2. New Zealand-born racer Peter Urseg came to UK in 1999 and has been competing on and off in different forms of UK motorsport ever since. He started with a season of hill climbing, then switched to circuit racing with a Porsche club and did a couple of 24-hour races, including the Brick Car Endurance event at Silverstone. Soon after that, he was given the chance to drive a GT4 Aston Martin in British GT in 2011, before the budget ran out. After that, he became a bit disillusioned and stopped racing altogether. It was not until his wife brought him a Porsche taster experience as a present that his passion for the sport was reignited. They gave me a Cayman GTS and just said, go for it. And it did not take long to get back into racing again, he says. I went back to the Porsche club, then to 750 Road Sports, winning every race in our class. Then bought a Cayman GT4 and started in Brick Car. After winning his class and finishing second overall in his second year, he had a season in a 911 Cup car, then tried to buy a 992 Cup car, but that proved difficult. We realised we could jump up to a GT3 racing for less money than getting a 922 Cup car, so we found the Audi in Europe and got that, he says. The first time I drove it was in a wet and windy test at Silverstone and it did not go well. But the next day I put in a pole and we built from there. We won 5 out of 6 races outright and should have won all 6, but we made a mistake in the pits. and myself and co-driver Marcus Clutton, we have a great driver pairing. The challenge last year was numbers. The championship struggled with getting the numbers of cars in our class to enable us to be awarded full points. That is what happened. We did not have enough numbers towards the end to have a chance of the overall championship. The pair won Class A last year, but they are not resting on their laurels. Despite running on a relatively low budget, part self-funded and part sponsored, they are bringing in a data engineer this season to help improve the car setup. However, in comparison to other teams that run with a dozen people or more, the aim is to race as cost efficiently as possible. Ursek has focused on improving his own performance too and adds, I've always been pretty fit, but I have now been working with a personal trainer and I also got a simulator this winter, so I have now been running through the tracks. I have not necessarily always seen correlation between the real car. Sometimes I am faster in the car, sometimes in the simulator. But it helps to keep refreshing the tracks, and we are also going to do more tests this year. One of the biggest chances this year is the team that is running the car at the Enduro Motorsport squad. As the Enduro Motorsport squad that ran last season has shut its doors. We are with the JMH this season, so we only need to get used to a new team. But they have had a lot of experience, so that is going to help us, he adds. Otherwise, we know what needs to be done. We have the speed on the track, and we just need to be error-free. We will start testing a month before the first race this year, so everything is a lot more controlled compared to last season, which was quite a rush. We aim to be at the pointy end of the grid again, and we'll give it the best run we can to pick up the overall championship this time. It's something I've been aiming for a while, but I think we are good enough to do it. So it's just about having the opportunity. The thing I really like about the British Endurance Championship, in brackets BEC, is the length of the races being 2 hours. Many European races for GT3 cars are only 1 hour and pro-ams, so it is typically means 20 minutes or so for the non-pro driver. I want more time than that. In BEC, you get a lot of bang for your buck. And if it grows, maybe this is where we compete for some time. So that's a look at Peter Ursegg, or Peter Ursegg, who races the British Endurance Championship BEC in the Audi R8 GT3 Evo 2. I've not watched any live Endurance Championship myself. I'm not too sure where these championships are. Oh, it did mention Silverstone in the article. So if anybody's looking to go and watch some endurance racing, maybe pull up a search in your search bar for BEC, or even maybe endurance racing wherever you are in the world. Well, that brings us to the end of another podcast, folks. Hope you enjoyed that, learning about the Nürburgring on and off simulator, shall we say, and a little bit about Peter Ursegg, who drives the Endurance Championship in the British Championship. Don't forget to hit and take that link for the Facebook's page. Really appreciate the follows and the subscribes, if you like. Don't forget that there is a new version of Dreout which helps you in the rain now, so 10% link will still be at the bottom of the show notes. Anybody still wanting to be a guest or even interested about joining me to run the podcast, feel free to hook me up, find me in the Discord, link again below, or hit the show's email, also in the show notes below. Until that, folks, I'll see you on the track soon. Happy iRacing!